Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good-looking Tuesday morning. We've got a very special guest. Jim, I'm going to let you take this one and run
with
right.
it. All right. So as everyone knows, if you don't, you've been living under a rock. The NFL draft is coming to Green Bay next April. And we can handle this draft. We've been to the last couple drafts, Kansas City, Detroit, seen what they do, and Green Bay's ready for this. They're going to be building a stage. They're going to have just all these events going on. But something that we have a little shortage of maybe would be some hotel rooms, spaces for people to stay. And that lends itself to renting out your homes. And as I've said before, Johnny, on this show, with the NFL draft coming here, and you take or leave the draft, but I think everyone in Green Bay should make some extra money during this. Be an Uber driver, maybe bartend, set up stuff. I just think everyone's got an opportunity to have a really good Christmas in 2025 because of the draft in 2025. So what I've done and what we've had on our show here is Michael Friedman. And Michael is the Simple Life Hospitality. And this is a guy that is a turnkey if you want to rent your house. And I know people like, oh, I've never rented my house. Well, I got to be honest with you. I've never rented my house and I'm doing this with Michael. I think it's an opportunity. We're going to pick up some money. And how are things going? Are we there in Green Bay?
Yeah, we are. Thanks. And first of all, thanks for having me back. It's been a couple months since I was here.
Well, and you're the guy we always like kick around questions amongst each other. And it's like, what about, I don't know. What about, I don't know. So when you come in here, we can actually get authoritative answers.
Well,
truth.
Exactly. I appreciate you having me part of the crew here.
I think
here.
We
this
spread a lot
great.
Of misinformation at times.
No,
don't try to, but I'm just saying.
No misinformation at all. No, since I saw you, we've first of all, Simple Life Hospitality, we manage short-term vacation rentals traditionally. And obviously with the draft coming to Green Bay, there's an opportunity for individuals who want to kind of do a one-off for that week or maybe 2 weeks leading up to the draft or after to rent their homes out. And so since I saw you last, we've launched our website, which is simplelife.com. On that website, all of our homes here in Green Bay, Northwoods, Door County are available for rent for the draft. And so we are starting to get rentals, which is really, really great. We also put together our two draft packages. So we can do most of the work for you, the heavy lifting of getting the photography done, the linens, the cleaning, the permitting. And then we also have an option if individuals want to try and do it on their own, who can go out and do it on their own, and we'll consult with you and show you the things you need to do. So we're giving the public options. But I guess the biggest thing, guys, is that there's a massive opportunity, as you said, for individuals who want to consider that week to maybe make some serious money.
Yeah, that's serious money.
Serious money. And
like Johnny said, we don't have misinformation, but the hotels are pretty booked up, right?
We don't want to say misinformation, but if there's so many like rumors,
right.
That's everybody thinks they know what's going on.
That's from our understanding and from the research we've done and what we're looking at is that there's about 4,600 hotel rooms within the greater Green Bay area, surrounding areas, and most of those hotels are rented. So if we're talking about having 500,000 people or more coming to Green Bay for a period of, 7 to 14 days or whatever that would be, even just for that week, we are going to need housing. And so the beautiful part of what we do is we have about 150 homes that are available for rent, whether it's here in Green Bay, Door County, we're going to provide shuttle service, Northwoods. And when you're talking about only an hour away, it's really not that big of a deal.
Can I say, when you say Northwoods, like where exactly you're saying?
I would say as far as Eagle River, believe it or not,
okay.
If people want to, Townsend, but if people want to go
the
that
real
far
Northwoods,
north,
as we
but
call
if they
it,
really want to go that far north, but obviously within.
But
within,
I think a lot of people would love that area.
I think people will love the area. I was in Door County yesterday and we were looking at some properties. And I think the reality of it is that people who are working at the draft or coming to the draft who are going to experience a great time and have a lot of fun can retreat back to that beautiful compound on the water for some peace and quiet, for some relaxation, and still have a fabulous time at the NFL draft.
And there's some people that don't like congestion. They don't like, it's not they don't like people. They don't like a lot of people. So they're leaving. I had dinner with a friend of mine, Sunday night, and he said, "Yeah, we're going camping." And I'm like, "Dude, rent your house out." "Oh, I don't think I want to do that." Why not, right?
We're with Michael Friedman, The Simple Life Hospitality, talking about rentals during the NFL draft.
Thanks. Yeah. No, I think, listen, there is some work that has to go into getting your home ready for the NFL draft. And you know, it's not for everyone. You know, I'll be completely candid. I wish I could say every homeowner in Green Bay should do this. In reality, that's not the case. You know, it does take some work, but the beauty of it is working with a company like ours. We do this professionally day in and day out, and on Thursday of this week, we are actually going to have a big open house at one of our homes right near Lambeau Field for homeowners to come and see what a draft home should look like. You know, it's staged properly, the things that they're going to need to do. We're going to have staff there available for individuals to come, and it's from 1:30 to 5 at 1071 Canterbury Road in Ashwaubenon. We'd love to have anyone who wants to join us come there, see the home, talk to the staff, find out about what it takes to rent your home.
This is a sensitive question here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is there almost like a price point of the type of house you're looking to rent? What if somebody says, "Hey, I got a house here, it's $130,000, it's one bedroom, and it's not in a great part of town." Will you still take those?
That's a really good question. I think we're vetting, first of all, we're vetting the homeowner to make sure that the home meets certain requirements.
Okay.
As it relates to what a person was going to, you know, spend money on renting.
Right.
And then obviously we're also, as we get questions a lot, you know, how are you protecting the home? And we're vetting the guests, making sure that we have, you know, really, really good people renting those homes. But we have protective measures in place should damage and things like that occur. But to go back to your question, not every home is going to fit this profile.
Okay.
That's, you know, unfortunately, it's just the case.
And you charge a commission, which people can ask you that, but to me, you know, I'm one of those guys, I love turnkey. You know, I hate paperwork. I don't want to do inspections. I don't want to vet people. One of the reasons we're going with you is because that's the service you offer, right? You're just like, you call you guys and, you know, see you in a week.
Yeah, we do it all, you know. So the one option, and I think a lot of people, as they sit down and talk to us, they see that we have these two options, one where they can do it on their own and then one where we do it. And I think the turnkey option is really a much better one. It's a little more costly for the individual. However, the reality of it at the end of the day, when we're looking at
the stress level,
worry. Not the worry. You know, we're coordinating photography. We're coordinating the locks. We're coordinating getting the necessary and needed permits for that week. We're coordinating our linen program. All of those things that these individuals would have to do on their own. We're doing it not for them, but we're doing it for them, but with our services we provide.
Last thing you want to do is do it on your own, rent it, and then have the city knock. Yeah. You didn't get this right permit. You didn't file this stuff.
Exactly.
So, yeah, those are important. What about, let me ask you something about kind of like in between. What if you just want to rent rooms out in your house and stay there?
You know, that's a great question. We're not involved in any of that, but if someone wanted to do that, they probably could. In all honesty, we're not going to go down that path. We're looking for a whole home that, you know, a family or multifamilies that want to rent a house. I would say, is it possible? Sure. I think there's too much risk there. And again, you know,
I don't want somebody I don't know staying.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, seriously, like, you know, so they're getting up in the morning and, you know, who are these people? And they come in at 3 o'clock in the morning after drinking all night.
Right.
And, you don't need that.
No. Okay. Well, cool. So you got this thing coming up on Canterbury, and did you say that's tonight?
That's Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah. Got Thursday, 1071 Canterbury Road in Ashwaubenon. It's a couple blocks from Lambeau Field. Yep. And it's one of our existing homes we currently rent out for Packer season.
Is this too early to do this, or?
You know, that's a great question. I was at Kroll's the other night eating, and we were talking to someone there, and they said that, oh, we're not even thinking about the draft yet. And I'm like, really? You know, and I said, why? And they're like, well, the owner doesn't really, you know, worry about that till later. And I said, well, we are. And we realize that, you know, when it comes to housing and places for people to stay, there are a lot of people who are planners. You know, I'm a planner. If I'm going somewhere next April, I want to know that my housing's secured, my airline's secured, my trip, whatever, is secured. And then there's the last minute. So I don't think it's premature by any means, if you're thinking about renting your house out, to get it on the market sooner rather than later, because we don't know how long it's going to take to rent that house.
Right.
So how do you, okay, you know, obviously, and Jim and I, we always talk about this, we're both in real estate, and you take the pictures and everything. Inevitably, when you're showing that house, somebody will say, oh, the pictures made it look a lot bigger, made it look a lot so-and-so. And the people are kind of like, and you can't assure this, there's no guarantee, but what's the best bet that these people from Texas coming up for the draft don't walk into this house that they're paying serious money for, mm-hmm. that they don't say, oh, this isn't what I was expecting.
Well, you know, so because we do this professionally, we're really great at making sure, number one, the pictures are accurate.
Okay.
That the descriptions that we write are vetted by the homeowners to make sure that, you know, we're accurate in stating what amenities are involved and what amenities are available, number of bedrooms, the number of beds, types of beds that are in the homes that they'll sleep X number of people.
Okay.
So we do a really great job of making sure that the details are accurate and that, you know, they're not getting some fake pictures.
Awesome.
So you rent your house out, you say, look, I've got, you know, 4 bedrooms, so I 8 people. Can you assure the homeowner that they're not going to sneak in another 8 people to sleep on the floor and use your bathrooms and all that?
Well, we can't assure that, but what we can do is we make sure that when, you know, we are booking the homes, and most of these homes, you know, won't have that necessarily what we call instant book, where they can just go online and book, that they're going to, you know, as far as individuals are concerned who are doing the one-off, that we have a vetted process, that they have to speak to one of our reservation agents, give them the names of the people that are going to be staying there. And then, you know, obviously if they say they're going to have 8 and they have 12, you know, it's hard for us to police that, especially, you know, that week. But we also want to make sure that, you know, we're getting a quality person.
You vet the
there.
People. I think that's the biggest thing. There's a lot of stuff you offer, but that's one of them. Well, hey, this is so interesting. And like I said, I hope people make a little money during the NFL draft, not just the NFL. Michael Friedman is here with the Simple Life Hospitality. He can be reached at
SimpleLifeRentals.com. And then, come see us on Thursday at 1071 Canterbury Road in Ashwaubenon. Staff's going to be there. We've got a great team. And we'll look forward to talking to you soon. That'd Sorry. 1:30 to 5. Sorry. 1:30 to 5.
Sorry. All right, Michael. Good luck with this. We'll have you back on again
Thanks.
Soon.
Appreciate
right,
you
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.
We'll be back with Jack Krasinski, 100-year-old veteran. Coming up, back after this.
All right, time to do it. Time for our Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest on WGBW and WISS. It's your chance to win a Wisconsin Dells prize pack, Milwaukee Brewers club level seats, and be a finalist for grand prizes, which include a staycation to Door County, Fort Atkinson, or Lake Geneva. John Mino, what's this hour's keyword?
The keyword is democracy.
Ooh. Spell that for me, Jim.
Come on. DemocraCy.
Democracy.
All right. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Choose WISS or WGBW and use the text button to send the word
democracy
for your chance to win this statewide contest.
Very nice. How's our group doing, Todd?
We're doing okay.
Only
we
okay.
We could use a couple more this morning. If you haven't downloaded the app, make sure and do that. Go to Google Play Store, the Apple Store, and download the apps. Choose your station. Easy to do. WGBW or WISS. And text the word democracy right now for your shot to win.
Democracy. Love it.
That's probably the best word for Alan Ludden. You know,
I know, right?
It's 3 syllables, right?
Well, Alan Ludden didn't do it. I don't know who the behind-the-scenes guy was.
No, that was him.
No, it wasn't.
There's a different voice?
Because the guy would do democracy. And Alan Ludden would go, okay, let's go here, everybody. Oh. And it'd say,
I think it was Jack Bear. Let me check it out. It was Jack somebody who was his voice guy.
That's cool.
Okay, let me ask you this then. What would your first hint be?
United States of America.
No, it's got to be one word.
Jack Clark was the gentleman's name, by the way.
Oh. 1776.
You can't. That's too many words.
That's one word.
Yes, no, it's not one word. It's one number. Mm-mm. I would say
4th of July.
That's.
Oh, my God.
You cannot play very well.
Mine would be Constitution.
That's good. I would say.
It probably is.
Patriotic.
Okay. Very good.
Bill of Rights.
That's three words, Jim. Hmm. Have you ever watched Password ever in your life?
Yeah.
Today, it's Tuesday for Worst Password Clue Day.
You guys aren't giving me much.
That's how the game works.
For game show hosts.
Like, Todd.
Yep.
Do I have one of those hats? Do we still have one of those hats?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, I got a heights cap for who will come out with the best hint you would give in Password. We got a very cool Heights pub and grill hat. Who will give us the best texted and who's got the best hint for democracy?
So text us on the app right now.
Yes.
What you would give as a clue on Password.
Yes.
If you were playing with Jim Schmidt. Mm-hmm. Who apparently likes to break all the rules.
Cannot follow a simple rule.
George Washington.
Yeah, that's...
It's two words.
It's kind of like one, though, really.
It's not, though, is it?
Nope. So let us know, people. Let us know.
Democracy. One word that would trigger you to think democracy.
It's not that hard. I mean, as far as the
Constitution
the rules.
Was good.
Huh?
That was...
Constitution was good, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I got to think about that. One word. That's hard to do one word.
Todd had USA, but Todd, that's actually three letters, so you can't do that.
Todd, follow the rules for once in your life, Todd.
Nancy says government.
Yeah.
That's a good one,
that's
Nancy.
That's a very good one. That's a very good one.
Then the person would guess corruption.
Well, it's always where you go to, right? I mean, that's because your whole life was
birthday cakes and
When we think government, Jim Schmidt thinks corruption.
Bus signs.
Corruption? Don't say that. All right.
Okay, government democracy. That's true.
Okay. All right.
That was a good one.
Okay.
But if you could just say a name that would trigger democracy.
Lincoln.
Yeah. I'd say freedom.
Freedom's good. There you
go.
That's
not bad. See, now you're getting
there. Now you're getting it. Not as, dense as people think.
Thanks.
You're getting there. Yeah.
No? Okay. No. Taxes.
Oh, my God.
Not that.
I don't know if that's democracy, though. I wouldn't get democracy off that.
Maybe we should try it the other way. Maybe he should be the person people are giving clues to. Do me a favor, Jim. Go out to the kitchen for a quick second. I'm not even kidding. We'll give a keyword and see what, and people will text in, and we will give them a major prize package, whoever you get it with. Go ahead. Go step on the kitchen for 1 minute. We're going to give a keyword. Close the door behind you there. Close the door behind you. Just keep going. Just go outside for a while if you want to.
Now, first of all, are you really going to play the game or are you just getting rid of them?
No. Okay. Either way, it's fine.
You lost your microphone
again. Yes, I did. Okay, so come up with a keyword. What should the keyword be?
Oh, this is tough.
I know. Okay, this is harder than we thought. Go ahead.
Radio?
Yes.
All right, that'll be the password.
The password is radio.
All right, now I'll go to Jim.
Okay.
All right.
And then what we need you to do, everybody gets a chance. We made a major prize package to see if we can get Jim to win this for you. Okay.
For the meantime, if you want to grab that other mic so we can fix that one, that would be fine. That'll be fine. So now Jim is back in the studio.
Okay. Long walk.
Okay.
Our listeners have today's password.
Okay.
And they're going to try very hard to get you to say this password with one word clues that they're going to text in.
And then they will win if you get it with them.
Okay. Go ahead.
Here we go.
All right, just got to wait for the text to come in.
Come on, texters. Let me get this going here.
The first word is tuner.
Tuner.
Piano.
Next one, modulation.
Oh, my God.
That's a good one, actually.
The thing that sits on top of the piano that ticks it that keeps the time going.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's the next one.
Modulation tuner.
Mino. Oh, Nancy, good one.
Modulation.
5 seconds.
Composer.
Here's a good one. Marconi. Five seconds.
Orchestra.
This is a great one too, Mark. Transistor. Oh, come on.
Radio.
Yay!
Mark is the winner today.
Congratulations, Mark.
And actually, that was an easy... That's if you would have said transistor, I would have got the first one.
Well, okay.
Modulation.
Amplitude modulation. Frequency modulation. Oh, my. AM, FM.
Yep.
Marconi, the inventor of the radio. Although Tesla was
Tesla's probably the guy that really did it. Yep.
Okay. You know what I would have said the first? My first one, I think, would have been...
Transistor was great.
Murphy.
That would have been all right.
Yeah.
I think... All right. I've said, now that it's in my head, I can't say I would have said radio.
All right.
That... the clues are the key to this thing, because transistor...
Well, of course, yeah.
Well, I know, but...
But even
I
mean, if it was actually... They probably would have said... Transistor.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can do that?
You can.
You can lead them in a little bit like
that. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that would have been.
So I should have done that for. I should have said, transistor.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Good.
Who was that?
That was Mark.
Mark. Nice job. All right, Mark, you got a major prize package. You got to come pick it up, though, if that's okay.
We'll get it to
him. Oh, this is a good song. Who was this? What?
Donna Summer.
Donna Summer, about 78.
About that.
79. Love Donna Summer.
On the radio.
On the radio.
All right.
Radio.
Congrats,
Radio.
Mark.
Jack Krasinski, 100-year-old vet, joining us. Dennis Peters from the Glam Band talking about a big event tonight. And Mike Stanley, Oshkosh Fire Department Prevention Program. Back after this.
Today, from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor, here at 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app. Beautiful morning out there, 52 in Appleton, 48 in Oshkosh, where we're going to be heading right after the show to do some things, and 46 in Green Bay. And joining us right now, a great friend, a gentleman that has been traveling worldwide over the past few weeks, but I'm sure he's just sitting in Pulaski right now enjoying this beautiful day. Jack Krasinski, 100 years old, went back to Normandy. Check out the beach and some of your compadres that took part in World War II. Jack, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Very good.
It's good to talk to you.
Yeah.
How was the trip?
Oh, marvelous. Marvelous. One of the best trips I ever had.
Was it better than the last time you went to France in 1944?
Yeah, last time we went on a ship. that wasn't very good, but this flight was real good. So,
what was your favorite part, Jack?
Oh, to go back and pay our homage to the guys that didn't come back.
Yeah. Jack, were the memories there? I mean, do you recall that? It was a while ago, 80 years ago.
Well, not really so much. The beach looked different. I think it looked different. I don't remember just how it looked it anymore, but there wasn't much to see. Just sand and weeds and stuff.
Yeah.
When you guys...
As we got off the English Channel, but...
When you guys get together, though, Jack, the one thing I've noticed about veterans, I don't care if it's World War II or Korea, Vietnam, whoever it is, you guys don't talk about the tough times. You talk about the things that you laughed about. Those are the major memories you guys always want to bring up, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
And not only in Normandy were you honored, but right here in Pulaski.
Oh, yeah, that big parade they had for me. And then Tuesday before we left it. Oh, I had a lump in my throat all the while. All the people that were there that waved and sang songs and wished me very good. And oh, it was marvelous.
Fantastic.
It was awesome. The whole village came out, not only the village, but the surrounding territories. And I got to tell you that when I got to Dallas on this trip, I was introduced by some, and they said, oh, you were on TV. You're the guy that was honored. And just about the whole trip, somebody had mentioned something about it. How they all found out about it, I don't know, must be media, because a lot of the servicemen knew that that was me that went on that trip. But that was awesome.
Fantastic.
Well, I think everybody's so impressed with you. I mean, you're 100 years old. You are in great shape, by the way. And you want to share any secrets about that?
Well, I don't know. You maybe look like I'm in good shape, but I feel like I'm 100.
Do you still have your one little cocktail in the afternoon?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the thing is, obviously, D-Day, that was the big anniversary and all those things. But, boy, you took part in something about 6 months after D-Day that was one of the most unbelievable things in American fighting history. And that, of course, was the Battle of the Bulge. Was really something, huh, Jack? That I'm not sure people still realize just how tough of a fight that was.
It was, and the fight wasn't really the worst. It was the cold. Oh, it was so miserable cold. And I was on a 50 caliber machine gun and sitting that iron turret. Hey, it was stiff, just frozen all the time I was in there. But that's war, I guess. And it never left. It was there 24/7, that cold. And snow, we had wet feet. And you know how it is when it's zero weather and you got wet feet.
What did you guys, didn't the Belgians, the French, give you a little something to drink that kept you a little bit warm at times? What was that again?
The French gave us, we were going through France, and a lady gave us a bottle of, maybe like a vanilla bottle. It was Cure looked like water, but she gave it to us, and she didn't tell us what it was, but I found out it was, I can't think of the name of it. Calvados.
Calvados, that's right.
Yeah, and three of us were on the gun I was on. We were mounted on a trailer, so the truck was pulling us, and by the time we got to where we were going, the three of us had a pretty good package. Yeah. And we were in Belgium, in France, not too long, maybe 2 weeks or so. Anyhow, and we had a battery of 8 squads. Each squad was separate, so we didn't see the rest of our squad all through the war. But anyhow, our squad was moving. We were there overnight in the morning when we got up. The ladies brought us some vegetable soup. Now, man, that was the best soup I ever ate in my life. And those people didn't have anything, you know, because the Germans controlled them all these years. And yet they shared what they had with us. So that was great.
That's beautiful.
That's yeah. What, yeah.
Jack, you know, we all watch the war movies and different things like that. What do the movies get it wrong versus what you guys experienced personally?
What?
Like, wet?
Like, wet?
Yeah. Is that what you said, Jack? Wet?
What?
Didn't I think what?
No, yeah, what? You know, when you watch a movie on World War II, and it's all, you know, whatever, versus the way it really was like for you guys, what do people not realize? Was it the cold? Was it the wet? Was it the being hungry? What are some of the things people don't realize and don't talk about too much?
Well, they don't realize that you're out there all the while, you know, and you got enemy all around you, and people, I guess, don't realize. You can maybe tell them, but they really don't know how it is, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I never talked much about it. I'm opening up a little now, but I was married to my wife for 62 years, and we never talked about it. Never. She never asked, and I didn't tell her, you know. So.
But there was what you told me. There was a time you guys had Germans pretty much all around you, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you communicate? How did you communicate back to the States? Did you? Did you get a chance to write to your mom? Or
You could write letters, yeah. And I don't know, they picked them up once in a while. And we'd get mail call, but it wasn't very often. And we didn't communicate too much at home. Maybe once in 2-3 weeks, but I'd write a letter, and then I'd get one from home. And yeah.
A little lonely.
Didn't you say they crawled, they'd find a big haystack and just crawl into the middle of a haystack and try to stay warm?
Well, I used to take hay and straw from the stacks and put it in my foxhole to line it, because we had two good blankets and a comforter, but that straw helped a lot. And if we could get in a straw stack, we went in a straw stack at night. But during the day, you had to be out there, you know. At night, the planes don't fly, but the bombs came once in a while, and they had unmanned bombs that they threw at us, and you could see those during the night. You'd see the fire go out, and when the fire went out, it started descending, and it exploded, and then the shrapnel would fly all over. And if they were coming overhead, well, you'd jump in your hole, you didn't, until it passed, you know, but... Wow. Yeah,
we're talking with Jack Krasinski, 100-year-old World War II veteran who just got back from Normandy, the celebration of the 80th anniversary.
Jack, how was it when the war ended, the celebration? Like, where were you? What were your thoughts? Just that had to be a highlight of your life.
Well, it was. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning, and our officers came around and said, the war is over, but don't let up your guard. And... we were all elated and happy. And then next day they came around and they said, well, it's official. He said, you can put your rifles down and your armor down. He said, the war is over. So, wow. Well, that was a happy, happy day.
And then when you got home, though, you know, people see on the movies, the ticker tape parades and everything like that. Tell about when you made it back to Pulaski, how low-keyed it was.
Well, it was. Back to Fort Sheridan, got discharged, and they gave me a ticket home, and I got to Green Bay, and I took a bus to between Pulaski and Green Bay, and I got off the bus on the road. It was, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyhow, I walked home. It's about a half a mile, carrying my gear or whatever I had, and I got in the house. I opened the door, and if my folks never locked the door. And I got in the house, opened the door, and I said, hello! And my mom and dad got up, and that was a good reunion.
I bet. But
I didn't see anybody till next day that I knew from around home. But
then yeah, didn't you say you just went, you know, got your job at the cheese factory or whatever, went right to work, huh?
Yep, next day my boss found out I was home, and he came, he says, we want you back. We want you back. And I says, not for a while. But I took a week or so off, and I went back there. And
wow.
I was such a nice people that I worked for that I enjoyed it very much.
Jack, I got to ask you, how do you think the world is today? I mean, you served in one of, you know, our freedom is due to people like you at that time, that more. How do you think the country's doing, and are you got a comment on it?
Well, not really. I don't know. People are different, I guess, than they were then. Now they don't seem to worry about it. You know, we talk about the wars in Israel and all over, and they just joke about it. And I don't know. So...
But, Jack, one of the things is, I mean, you guys, when you went off, I mean, when you went into that war, you didn't know if we were going to win the war or the Nazis were going to win the war or the Japanese were going to win the war. I mean, you guys went in against two of the greatest powers in world history, and you guys went in a little bit shorthanded, you know, because they were all ready to fight. And what you guys pulled off, just a bunch of farm kids and small-town guys from America, what you guys pulled off is remarkable, isn't it?
and we never knew where we're going, why we're going. We know why we were going. We didn't know where, what time, or what. And I don't know. We just did whatever we were told to do. And so, and most of us acted the same way in the battery that I was in. And well, now nice young fellas and good comrades, and we got to be a family, you know.
And you guys, you had each other's backs, didn't you?
Oh boy.
Yeah, yeah. And we were 24/7 with each other, you know, and we were good friends. So,
Jack, do you keep in touch with anyone? I know you're 100 years old, and there's just not as a lot of you around. But is there someone you keep in touch with that you served with?
I did for years after the war was over. They'd come and visit me, or I'd go visit them, and we wrote letters back and forth.
Nice.
But the last 8-9 years, there was no letter came, and I didn't mail any because the wife should write a letter, the last letter, and say, well, so-and-so passed away. And one by one, they all left.
Well, Jack Krasinski, we honor you, and I just think it's fantastic. You know, I know you kept quiet about it for a lot of years, and I appreciate very much you shared your stories with me for my book, and yeah. I really enjoyed that, and I do forgive you for what you said to me that day.
What? What?
Huh?
That was a joke.
He says to me, he goes, hey, you used to be on TV, right? I go, yeah. He goes, yeah. I used to watch all the time. I go, oh, thanks. Yeah. He goes, well, you've put on a few since those days, haven't you?
Yeah.
Jack Krasinski, I'm so happy you're getting honored the way you deserve. Yes, and your daughter, Ruth, has been just spectacular in getting the word out. And I just want to say, my friend, thank you for what you've done for our country, the United States of America. It's small town guys like you that saved our country,
right.
And we appreciate it.
It's an honor, and I don't deserve all the
yes,
credit.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do, Jack.
Yeah,
we
you
honor
do.
You.
You deserve more. Jack Krasinski.
Wherever I go, I get my hand shaken and... You know, because I have a hat that I wear that's World War hat. They all thank me for my service.
Yep, they should.
Yep.
Older people, younger people, well, the kids do now, younger kids.
I know.
I think they're teaching that little in school now.
Right.
Well, my friend, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Bye.
Show. It's a radio show. It's a radio show. It's radio.
Hey, welcome back. My name is the Mayor. Man, that was great talking with Jack, wasn't it?
That was very cool. Like, I haven't talked to someone who was there. Well, I guess Herman Balzer. We both knew him.
Furman.
F with an F. Yeah, Furman Balzer. But, yeah, I'm really moved by that. That was great. And just how humble he is, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it's amazing when you go back and you research that up a little bit. Like, Green Bay West High School, like, class of 41. Mm-hmm. How many people went into the war and died?
Yeah.
You know, and you could pick probably any high school in the United States and do that.
Right.
But it's just, I mean, some of these classes, you know, some of these schools, these bigger, last 7 or 8 kids.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, friends that you grew up with, and they just went off to war because they had no other choice. And I mean, it was a situation, you know, this wasn't one of those wars like, you know, where it's like, well, even if we don't take part in it, things will probably, you know,
right.
God bless those other countries, like Korea, no disrespect, but it's like, okay, if we didn't get involved in Korea, okay, North Koreans would have taken over, which isn't a good thing, but it really wouldn't have affected us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
But with World War II, holy crap, those two countries.
Game changer, totally. Yep.
If they had won, I was talking to a historian one time, and he said if they had won, the other countries had
right.
won, Germany would have had a complete blockade with submarines around the East Coast. I mean, just a blockade, okay? Probably would have put troops and bases in, like, Nova Scotia, someplace like mm-hmm. that. They were in talking with Mexico about putting in bases in Mexico, South America. They already ran a bunch of South America. They were looking at the Cuba, those areas, the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. They're going to put submarine bases in the Bahamas. They would have shut off the East Coast if they had won. If we had, okay, Japan... If they had taken over Pearl Harbor, all they had, I had guys who were at Pearl Harbor. I think Furman was one of them.
He was. He was a gunner there.
He said they could have walked up in pickup trucks after that second wave and taken over the whole island because it was in such disarray. Our troops were scattered all over. Our planes were blown to hell. Right. Our ships were all burning in the harbor. People were dead and wounded laying all over. If they had landed some landing crafts with some tanks and things like that, and if they had, which they did have, if they had like cells, guerrilla cells amongst the, you know,
right,
people would have taken over the power stations and things like that. We were so close to having been taken over. You can't believe it. Isn't that something?
It is.
A bunch of these kids from Pulaski, Wisconsin, and places like that,
right,
literally off the farm, out of the factories, right out of school, and they somehow put it all together and defeated these two unbelievable powers.
And that is just, you can't emphasize that enough, but I think Furman was like from Brussels, right? He was a Belgian.
I think Green Bay.
I thought he was from Green Bay.
I know he was in the Naval Reserve, 41 Naval Reserve.
Young.
Totally young. Oh, my God.
Yeah, 18,
his picture, look at his picture in my first book, Front Lines. He looked 16.
Yeah.
And just normal kids, like Furman on Pearl Harbor. I want to say he was on the USS Maryland. And, you know, he was shining his shoes to go to Mass.
Yeah.
You know, because he promised his mom or whatever he'd still go to Mass no matter what. You know what I mean? Just normal kids brought up in a nice way. And somehow had to turn into these unbelievable warriors.
Yeah. And like you said, they just listened. They didn't question anything. They just listened. They didn't really know where they were going. Kind of knew why they were going, but you know, like Jack said, you know, they just
followed orders, did what they had to do.
Yeah.
But somebody who made an analogy, I read some shows, but it said it's like taking the Super Bowl champ or taking the two teams that are in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you have to put a team together now to go against them and beat them. But they're so far ahead of you. They've been putting this together for years.
I like that.
They're the two best in the world.
I get it.
And now you got to throw a team together out of guys and beat them. And he said, that's the best analogy for what we did.
Yep.
It's just amazing.
Kind of sad when Jack was talking how, we didn't do everything right as a government either, right?
No.
But I'm just saying, to drop this kid off two in the morning.
Right.
You see that in movies. You know, drop him off.
Yeah.
He had to walk a half mile just to get to his house out in the... Say, come on.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. It's not like you tipped your tape that you're getting the whole...
Right.
They just came back and did their thing.
Right.
And I know some of them went to work within like 2 days. Just wanted to go back to work and forget about it.
I get
an uncle, my godfather, who grew up next door to me, and he fought in Okinawa in the Philippines. Horrible, horrible battles with the 96th Infantry Division, one of the most bloodied divisions in the Pacific. And at his funeral afterwards, I was talking to my cousin, his son. I said, how come he would never... did he ever talk to you? I said, man, I've tried so many times. And I'd get little bits and pieces. He said, you know what? There wasn't one good memory of his time in the war.
Yeah.
Not a single good memory. So why talk about it? Why bring it up? Just let it go. I want it to die in my memory. Just go away and move on. All I wanted to do was stay alive and get home and get married.
Yep.
And that's like what Jack said. He never, 62 years, never talked to his wife about the war.
I think that's incredible to sit next to each other for 62 years. And
but it was almost, you know what, Jim? It was almost just like, well, it was what they had to do.
That's yesterday.
It's what we had to do, and we did it, and let's move on. I mean, that's their attitude.
If I ever make it to 100, I'm as sharp as him.
Absolutely. Right? And still have your whiskey drink one in the afternoon. Absolutely.
I'll start now.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yes, they...
I've got one other gentleman I want to bring on who's 100. He's turning 100 in July, and he's from Appleton, and I want to bring him on. He went through some amazing things as a nose gunner and a B-24 bomber, so we got to honor those guys as much as humanly possible. That's why I think it's just phenomenal that he got a chance to go over there and do what he did to Normandy.
You know, and that's
quite the... I'll tell you what.
I was just going
to say. I've traveled to Europe, and it's like, holy crap.
I know.
This is a long, tiring flight.
You know, and... he went to Dallas first.
And
I
give him all the credit in the world and his family for what they did for him.
He does look pretty good, though. I mean,
he looks great.
He does. I don't know if it's the same uniform he was wearing it.
And you're right. He's in great shape.
Yeah, which probably helps. Well, we got time, John.
For what?
To get in shape.
Oh. Well, I told you my new thing. Oh, plus, we're picking strawberries today.
Yes.
Todd, do we got that contest?
I believe that's... Yep,
can Jim pick a gallon of strawberries in 20 minutes?
Right, that's the contest.
For $20.
Yes. And I have... you know what I found? Knee pads.
Oh, you did?
I got them in the car.
Excellent.
In case I need them.
But I want to get some from there because I want to use it, like I said, for my Johnny Juice.
Yeah.
Oh, strawberries?
Yeah. So I'm going to start marketing that. Johnny Juice, it's going to be mixed with my protein drink and bananas.
I thought you said that was chocolate.
What is?
You can put chocolate and strawberries?
Oh, I love chocolate and strawberries.
Ooh, that sounds
don't
great.
You love chocolate-covered strawberries?
Absolutely. Nope.
Those little fountains?
No, I don't.
Oh, whoever invented that fountain, he's in heaven.
He probably is.
He's got to be.
Because he ain't living.
He's brought me a lot of joy. All right, we got to set our quick break in just a little bit. We got Dennis from the Glam Band. Right. He's going to be in Oshkosh at Leech tonight. Want to talk to him about his other band he has, too. That's just fantastic. So we still got more fun stuff coming up. Mike Stanley, Oshkosh Fire Department, prevention programs that you need to know about. We'll talk about that when we come back.